This is your KYRS live and local calendar for February 8th through the 13th. Saturday, Rockfest Battle of the Bands with Solace, Horizons, Tea, and Dissonance at the Big Dipper, Thirsty Boots at the Checkerboard, and Antique Sex Machine at the Bullhead. Sunday, All Ages Blues Jam at Fired Up Pizza in Chewila and Nick Groh at Maryhill. Monday, Spokane Rap Olympics, hosted by Kid Curry and Jabo at Neon Moon and Palais Royale at the Knitting Factory. Wednesday, Acoustic Jam with Craig McQuain at Andy's in Chewila. We Be Jammin' at Green City Saloon in Green Acres. Open Mic with Dylan at Badass Backyard Brewing in Millwood. Branded Hart at Iron Horse in the Valley. And Open Mic with Derek Hart at the Checkerboard. Thursday, Neon Interstate at Bolo's. Open Mic at Master's Brew House in Deer Park. Villa Blues and Jazz at Emmeroo's. Speakeasy Open Mic with Sarah Rooney.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal.
Oh, well, hey, good afternoon, out and abouters. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM, or maybe you are streaming from KYRS.org. I am your host, Captain DJ Mave, and we've got a full studio in here. The KYRS studio is festooned with balloons. It makes the lighting kind of weird in here. I noticed that my intro is a little slow. I don't know if my computer got cold on the walk down and now everything's really slow. I don't know. But hey, welcome. Today I have in the studio with me, Troy. I don't think you've ever been here, have you?
I have not.
Yeah. And Troy Nickerson and I go back a long time. He's a director. We've got Chris Jensen. Chris and Troy are basically the principals of Theater on the Verge. And we also have Doug Dawson with us here, who is going to be in a one-man show, and you are the storyteller, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's really no name for the character.
Okay.
It's not titled.
Just okay, so, okay. For some reason, I must have read that it was the storyteller in one of my...
I think it refers to my
research probably... Yeah. Yeah. Makes me seem, sometimes I make these mistakes, like I do this research and then it's completely wrong, but
no,
I would have been better if I pretended like I just didn't even know. So welcome, you guys. Welcome. It's good to have you all here. So we're just going to start out at talking a little bit about Theater on the Verge. When I tell people that there's a play going on in Spokane, whatever, they always go, oh, is it Civic Theater? And I go, no, there's other theater experiences in Spokane, including my own stage left.
Yes.
But what is Theater on the Verge?
So Theater on the Verge is an independent theater company. We just started a few months ago, Troy and I, and we really wanted to start something where we could just, I think the key word there is independent. We could do our own thing. And it's very small. It's just us. We don't even have our own like theater space. We and that gives us a lot of freedom.
Okay.
And we started with a small show. This is essentially a one-man show in a beautiful space called Hamilton Studio in West Central. And what we're finding, because we're starting to plan out the rest of our kind of the next few shows, and this freedom that we have to choose a play that we really, really love, and then to find the right space for it and to operate that way has just been really lovely. And I'll let Troy, maybe expand
on that. The other thing about it is it's been a great, because we don't have to operate under a whole bunch of people, those choices that we make become our choices. We've kind of feel right now we want to be responsible for things that we put out in the world or things that we want to say right now in the world. So this was kind of our way to make sure that we get to do that and do things that we're really passionate about and bring in fantastic actors. And it's been awesome so far. The support has been amazing.
That's so cool. Yeah. What makes this show kind of fit your vision of what you want your theater to be?
Well, the show is called Every Brilliant Thing. It started off in fringe festivals, so in really small festivals. We were looking, first of all, it was just fit some practical needs for us because we were looking for a really small scale show to start with. So, and we'd been reading scripts for months. Troy had been sending me names of scripts for months.
And, so I should say, Chris reads them.
When you're saying we were reading, I was reading scripts for months. And, and you know, I'd usually get to just a few pages in and be like, okay, no, we can't. You know, there's either a huge set or there's a, you know, some all these needs that we felt, at least for this first show out the door, we just couldn't manage, just practically speaking. So, and we actually had another show in mind that we were thinking of doing. And then Troy sent me the name of this piece. And I started reading it. And immediately it was like, oh, it's checking this box, this box, this box. Just in terms of being the right scale. But also of saying something that just, it just knocked me flat in terms of what it had to say. Because part of what it's about, what one of the ways I'm framing it is that it's the funniest play I've ever read about depression.
Okay.
It's about depression and suicide, but it's about it in a very joyful way, a surprisingly joyful way. It's about finding joy in the world. And I think at the present moment, that's taking on a whole new relevance for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, this. You picked this play before the election, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So thanks a lot.
Right. When I got to tell you that it's so funny because the morning after the election is when we got an email saying that we got the rights to the show.
Oh, wow. Oh, nice.
And it was just one of those things where sorry, I'm getting a little emotional, but it just was this sign that, yes, okay, that's the counterbalance, right? I can't control anything that's going on, right? But what we can do is we can show up for what's right in front of us and to try to put something good in the world and that we feel matters and that is saying something that we want to say.
It was also the first thing that I kind of found it just looking around and it was like, wow, that's interesting. And a lot of it was because of it fit that. And then Chris had it. He had it like you were away. Mm-hmm. And he sent the script to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, what was that three-page thing? Because he fell in love with that three pages. I was reading it. And we talked on the phone. And it was like, we're doing this, right? And it was like, drop the other thing. And it was just this moment. And then the next big challenge was finding the right actor that can do this piece. Because it's just not anybody that can pull it off. And then it was finding the correct space. And that all happened for us in a pretty quick...
Yeah, within a matter of weeks.
Yeah.
That stage. Are you going to do it on the behind the big white screen?
Yes,
that's
it's going to be on there.
So that gives you can utilize that in the production. And
yes, and it's going to be the cabaret tables, cabaret seating, and
nice.
Yeah. You know,
and Don Hamilton of Hamilton Studios has just been so lovely to work with from the moment we first walked in there. So welcoming, so collaborative. He keeps surprising us with the ways in which he's just really been diving in to help. He's very excited about what we're doing. And what we found when he showed up, and I did not know this about him, his background is in theater.
Oh, I didn't know that about him either.
He started off as a lighting designer.
Oh, no kidding.
At a theater in California. So this is taking him back to his roots.
Wow.
He's
always been such a mover and shaker for so many causes in the community.
Yeah. So him and his wife both.
Yeah.
Lorna had, they've just been so lovely.
So that's wonderful that he's involved in this. Now, Doug, we've kind of like left you out of this conversation.
I think we got there.
Well, I think
How did you wind up getting involved in this?
It was interesting. I got a call from Troy, and he had started telling me about the show, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds amazing, you know. And he's like, it's a one person cast, and I'm like, oh wow, you know. And then I suddenly realized that perhaps he's talking to me because he might want me to do this thing. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, oh, please tell me that's why he's calling me, because this sounds so great. And I'm getting ready for him to just go, so what do you think about so-and-so playing the part? I just wanted your opinion. I'm like, well, it sounds good. And, you know, and so then he was like, so what do you think? And I said, are you asking me? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm in, you know. And then his description, I said yes. And then they had mentioned that, you know, like three pages in, you just go, oh, you know, this script. And he got me a copy of it in 3 pages. I texted him. I'm like, I'm 3 pages in and I'm a mess. You know, it's just beautiful. So that's how.
Okay.
And I'm just absolutely flattered to be part of the new project that these two are doing in Theater on the Verge, and extremely, extremely humbled and grateful that they gave me the opportunity to take on this role, which is a challenge.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine you have quite a line load, I would guess, being up
there's
there.
There's that.
Up there by yourself for the most part. Is there anybody else in the... That's it, huh? So you are...
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess
it's,
we kind of...
It's very much a audience moment. It's a very collaborative evening of things.
You know, just reading up on it, it kind of reminds me of almost like a one-person show, like Julia Duffy's God Said Hawk type of thing. Is that the vibe in this? That it's sort of like somebody telling stories about their life? Or,
you know, to be honest with you, Maeve, I have never done anything like this before, and I have never seen anything like this before. It is done in such a special way, and the way they do it, and don't want to give too much away, but it's a... Every evening will be a completely different experience, and the audience... And that's what it is. It's going to be... like a community experience for the people in that room that night.
Oh, that sounds
familiar. And even they will be there in some ways for each other. It's hard to...
The audience becomes another character in the show.
Oh.
And we won't really even know what that's like until probably the opening night. So,
that sounds,
you know, stay
that
tuned.
Sounds really wonderful to be in the audience, but I wouldn't want to be you.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be interesting. No, I think it's going to be wonderful. I will say this, with line loads and one-person shows... I personally believe as an actor that good writing is easy to learn.
Yeah.
This show has not been tough to learn.
Oh,
it is
good.
Exceptional writing. Beautiful, beautiful writing. And it's, you know, it's 39 pages or something. So it's, you know, it's a lot, but it's been very easy to learn. And I, you know, so, but yes, absolutely. It will be, that is probably the most nerve-wracking part of it is that, you know, there's bits and pieces without giving anything away that are kind of, they could be different each night, depending on the way things go. And so it's not really improv, but it definitely is, there's sections where it's like, this could have a different meaning possibly. Or different direction. And although I'm, call me crazy, I'm excited by that. I think that's going to be the funnest part.
I could see that.
Yeah.
And you know, it's always funny how different an audience is. Mm-hmm. Anyways, on a regular play, each night tonight, the laughs hit here,
for sure.
They don't hit there.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild.
When you're waiting for laughter one night, you know, to sit there and you're like, oh.
Pause. I'm pausing. Nothing's happening.
Well, and in terms of just what the play is about, it starts off with Doug telling the story of himself, Doug's character telling him the story of himself as a little boy, starting to make a list of brilliant things, of wonderful things in the world in order to lift the spirits of his mother, who is depressed. But they're brilliant things from the perspective of a 7-year-old boy, which is different from what maybe a middle-aged woman might find brilliant or wonderful, right?
Right.
And he's not quite sure why this doesn't affect his mother in the way he hopes that it will. But then what the play, it follows him throughout his life as over the course of his life, he keeps adding to the list.
And the list is the simple list. It's not, well, there's three things. It can't be... materialistic. It can't be
materialistic. Has to be genuinely wonderful and life affirming, and you can't repeat anything.
Yeah,
and so it's just the simple little joys that make life worth living that sometimes go unnoticed, and boy, that's so lovely right now, right?
I kind of wanted to circle back to that, and that you know, I think we kind of talked a little bit around it, how the play might have a little more. Meaning to people right now, because I don't know about you, but there are days that I am really down, but then an hour later, I am super jazzed because I've done my little act of resistance for the day, and, you know, which I'm not going to talk about on the air, but it's like I've done, and I find myself almost giddy sometimes, like these are like the times that I was kind of born for, you know, to fight this fight and to do these things. And I would, and, you know, just listening to this play, it sort of sounds like it has that kind of arc and ups and downs.
Yeah. that it's filled with joy. Yeah. I mean, and it's filled with joy, but then takes you to moments that are just so human and so beautiful.
Yeah.
And, but there will be some lovely, lovely laughs. And I think you're right. We have to, if we let all of our joy be taken away from us, then we're really losing. I mean,
yeah.
And art has always, you know, art has always survived. Mm-hmm. It's always been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think, you know, not to get off on too far of a tangent, but, you know, in these times of, you know, where it seems like, boy, anything goes, and all these safeguards that we thought that were there, that apparently were only there because of gentlemen's agreements, you know, that can be very depressing and dark, and the rugs kind of being pulled out from underneath you.
Yeah.
What kind of mooring does art give people right now?
Well, what I would say, one place I would start with that is that I think art, and particularly theater, is about connection. One of the things that makes theater so special is we're all in this room together experiencing this one thing just once in this particular way together, this particular group of people, especially with this play, where every night it's a little bit different. And I think that sense of being connected is what gets us through. I was a counselor on the 988 Suicide Lifeline for several years. It's part of the reason why this play really appealed to me, really struck me. And what I found in those conversations, the through line there, was that almost everyone I talked to in that line felt terribly disconnected, mm-hmm. Felt terribly unmoored. And it was really just a matter of listening to them, to let them know that they were being heard, that their feelings had merit and had value, and that they themselves had value. But just to allow them a space to be heard, you could hear them start to de-escalate.
Wow.
And I think that's essentially what theater can do for us.
Okay.
And I hope that's what people will feel as they walk out, is just a little more connected to the other people, just even across from them at the cabaret table.
For even like rehearsals a few times with Doug and I, and just our conversation has literally been therapy for me. You know, yeah. I mean, I've actually come from therapy and to rehearsal and went, we talked about that very thing.
Wow, you know, the synchronicity of it, yeah.
So it's been, you want to contribute to that at all, Doug, as far as what you think about it?
As far as art, I think art like Chris said, art is connection. Art saves lives. Art changes minds. Art is, you know, it's creation. And, you know, on a personal anecdote, I remember in early 2000s, I went through a divorce and I was devastated. And I started writing funny songs about it. And that saved my life. Yeah. Writing funny songs about it and then starting to perform them and things. It was like, man, if I hadn't had that outlet, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Thank God for art, you know, and I think this play in particular is like we've talked about the timing on it. I think people are going to walk away and think, no, there's good, there's still good,
yeah.
You know, and we can still change, and
hope,
hope.
There's hope. This show has a lot of hope.
Well, and you know, you're giving, all of you are giving a gift to people. I mean, not they're paying for the ticket, but it's still a gift of your performance. And to me, I always find live performances, theater and music, so moving. I am usually with tears just because of the risk of the performer, you know, that they are standing up there trying to give people something. And I guess in this show, it almost sounds like there's almost a bit of maybe reciprocity in that with the audience. It sounds like there's a little bit that they're also going to have to maybe risk a little bit to get some benefit from it. Okay, cool. Well, why don't we, I've got to go, I have to load up a bunch of stuff over here to play. So I'm going to cut to some music while I do that, because I didn't get a chance to do that before we started. But why don't we let people know how they can get tickets to go see the play?
Sure. Tickets for Every Brilliant Thing are available at www.theateronthetheverge.com. That's theater with an E-R ontheverge.com.
Okay, sounds good.
You can also find us on Facebook.
And what dates? What
tickets are, performances are February 27th through March 15th. We have six performances.
Okay.
The first performance, opening night, is sold out, but we have plenty of tickets left for the remaining nights.
Okay, sounds good. All right, we're going to be right back after we do a little business here.